Growing up in Houston, Kia looked up to her grandmother. She was a doctor, her best friend, and the best baker she had ever met.
So my passion for baking actually came from my grandmother. When I was a kid, when she wasn't at work, she was at home baking something. Like, I would just walk in the kitchen, I would see her making all these bundt cakes and all these cobblers and all these pies. And at the time, you know, I was like only like 5 or 6, so I couldn't really help her. But she'll come in, Kia, you can like help me do this, or like you can whisk the eggs into like the baking stuff.
Kia would take that love of baking with her once she entered the foster care system at 8 years old. She would then spend the next 10 years largely separated from her family and struggling to connect with others.
The first couple of years, I was kind of like confused and scared because when I was away from my family, like, I don't know these people, why am I here? Up until like a year ago, I didn't even know why I was placed in CPS custody. And nobody wanted to be friends with me because I was just like a little foster kid and I was wearing like hand-me-down clothes. So definitely I had to get comfortable with myself, like being alone at like a very young age.
Anxious to start a new chapter, Kia decided to move to the Dallas-Fort Worth area after high school to attend Texas Woman's University. All the while, still receiving support from extended foster care services.
I chose to go to Texas Woman's because, like, in the back of my mind, I always wanted to be like a chef, but everybody was telling me that it's like, that's not a lot of money, you're going to be overworked. So I went to Texas Women's and my major was political science. And I was sitting in class, taking all those history classes I had to take. And I was like, this is so boring. So like after that, I went back to my dorm and I just started thinking. I was like, is this really what I want? And I said, no. So once I left school, I talked to my case manager about all of my options. And I decided that living on the ACH campus for Life Project was the best choice for me.
Welcome to Counting on Us, a podcast presented by ACH Child and Family Services, the show where we share the stories of people navigating life's challenges with ACH alongside them every step of the way. I'm Daniel Trevino. Every year, more than 20,000 youth age out of the foster care system in the United States. With little support, former foster youth are left to navigate from adolescence to adulthood on their own. In 2009, ACH started the Life Project to encourage self-confidence and self-sufficiency for young adults aging out of the foster care system by providing independent living housing options and skills development. Stephanie Henry, one of the Life Project mentors, has firsthand knowledge of the struggles these young adults run into.
I mean, even if you had the perfect life, just that transition from being a teenager to a young adult is difficult, but especially if you've come from very broken backgrounds where there was a lack of proper nurturing and structure and that sort of thing, it's terrifying because you don't really have the foundation that you need to make that transition smooth.
I was confused and a little bit scared because, again, I moved to Texas Women's and I didn't know anyone. Then I moved here and I didn't know anyone. And at the same time, I was trying to force myself to open up to people because, you know, bottling up is not good for anyone.
Who did you turn to for support?
No one, actually. Like, my foster mom dropped me off here, right? And I only spoke to her like on holidays and special occasions. And I didn't want to basically tell her that I kind of sort of dropped out of college because I didn't want her to be disappointed in me. So I kept it all bottled in until like Easter when I finally told her. I was like, hey, I dropped out of college. And first she was disappointed and then she was furious. So definitely I just kept it to myself.
What about your caseworker?
Yeah, I did talk to her about it, but I was mostly giving her facts and not like emotions at that point because I'm still like new to opening up to people.
So for our life clients, it is difficult for them to open up, especially in regards to emotions or even trauma, because they all struggle with trust issues. If you're not sure if the other person who is listening really cares or that they have your best interest at heart, you're not really going to want to open up.
Being a kid in foster care, most of the times your emotions is not gonna get you what you want. Like, if you throw a tantrum, they're probably just gonna give you anger management classes or something. So now I'm like, I'm trying to like reprocess and reevaluate everything so I can like make friends better and be a regular 20-year-old instead of being cooped up in my room all the time.
At the Life Project, clients are encouraged to participate in life skills and house meetings as well as family dinners. The goal of these activities is to aid the young adults in improving their social skills and build bonds with the other clients, and especially with life mentors. Development research shows that having at least one caring adult in your life increases the likelihood of becoming a healthy, productive adult.
It's really important because it builds bonds with everybody. And the first month that I was here, I didn't like going to them or talking to people because, you know, again, I don't know how to make friends and open up to people. But it kind of created a rift with me and the girls because I stayed in my room all the time, so they didn't know me. And, you know, once people don't know they know you, they build their own ideas of you. And most of the time they thought I was stuck up or I thought I was better than them. So it's definitely important to come to like the family dinners because that's where we can joke around and we can have fun and we can just let everything go, basically.
What has it been like connecting with the life mentors?
Definitely the mentors there, Cassie and Stephanie, they're really open about us confiding with them, especially Stephanie. She was in the system herself, like the CPS system herself. So she knows how like hard the transition can be from like being in CPS to like the real adult world.
Those connections proved invaluable because months after moving to the Life Project, Kia's grandmother passed away.
So my grandmother passed away last year on Halloween from breast cancer, and I was devastated, one, because like I saw her a month before and she looked fine, and two, because my favorite grandmother had passed away and on my favorite holiday of all days. So I was actually in the middle of baking something. I think I was making a chocolate bundt cake, and my uncle called me. He was like, "Hey, your grandmother passed away," and I could not think. I froze up, and I left the bundt cake in the oven. I burnt it.
Did you tell anyone?
I went to Stephanie. I was like, "Stephanie, I won't be able to join because we're doing a trunk or treat that night on Halloween." And I was like, "I won't be able to join the trunk or treat anymore." And she was like, "Why?" And I was like, "Because my grandmother just passed away," and I just bald face cried. And I think that was the first and only time she has ever seen me cry.
She was very down. And you know, of course, when a client, really anyone, loses a loved one, there's not really anything that you could do. So my best choice was to be here to sit in the office with Kia, offered her something to drink, offered her a snack, and just to be here present with her.
What was it like opening up to Stephanie?
She let me talk with her. She let me basically go in the office and like cry with her. At first, it felt kind of weird because my mind didn't know what was happening. Like, half of my mind knew, like, I needed to cry because I lost, like, my best friend. And the other half of me was like, "Why are you crying in here? They're not going to understand you. Like, you understand you. Nobody's ever going to understand." And, like, that's mostly what I tell myself all the time. And so I basically had to force myself to let somebody help me.
It is very important for our clients to be able to express themselves and open up and talk about their feelings, because otherwise what happens is they're continuing to hold on to that baggage. They're continuing to hold on to those struggles. It deteriorates their mental health. It impacts how they interact with their peers. And ultimately it becomes a distraction so that they can't even focus on their basic goals.
Kia, how did Stephanie help you at that time?
When I spoke to Stephanie about it, it basically helped me with confronting my feelings because my grandmother was the first death in my family. And before that, I did not know what like experiencing a death felt like, especially one as close to me as my grandmother. So she basically told me, like, she was like, "It's okay to cry. It's okay to feel sad because these things are natural." And not only is it natural, it's like it was somebody that was like really close to me. So it was okay to just like let things go and be sad for once.
At the same time that Kia was grieving the loss of her grandmother, she was also struggling with finding a job. When clients enroll in the Life Project, they are required to either be in school or working. And for Kia, the deadline for finding employment was rapidly approaching. For that reason, it was important that she find healthy ways of processing her emotions.
So after getting the news, Kia utilized one of her coping skills after we had just kind of sat in the office for a little bit, and she went downstairs to the kitchen and started whipping up something. I think she'd made a cake, actually, but we had talked about while she was down there that when she does baking, it makes her feel close to her grandmother, and she just feels a release and a sense of joy when she's baking.
I love to bake and she loved to bake, so I felt closer to her. And my grandmother never feared death anyways. She welcomed it most of the time. So like while I was baking, I had to tell myself, I was like, okay, she's happy now. This is what she wanted. She wasn't scared. And that one day, I'm pretty sure I made like 2 dozen cookies and I made brownies and I made cakes and I made a cobbler. So I definitely just jaunted myself in baking.
Kia, how did the death of your grandmother affect your job search?
For like 3 months, I could not find a job for some reason. And at first, I didn't really care about like the consequences of like not finding a job or like not being in school because I just wanted to relax a little bit. And then my grandmother passed away. And during that time, like when I first found out about it, I didn't want to look for a job anymore because I was thinking to myself, I was like, my grandmother just passed away. So what's the point of me getting a job? I'm like, I got really depressed with it too. I was thinking to myself, what's the point of getting a job if I'm going to die anyways? And so I was definitely having like not only an identity crisis, but like a life crisis. I didn't want to do anything.
We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Dr. Wayne Carson from ACH Child and Family Services. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Here at ACH, we know that the community is counting on us to get it right. So for over 100 years, ACH has remained true to our mission of protecting children and preserving families. Follow us on social media or visit our website, achservices.org, to learn more about what we do, how to get involved, or if you'd like to support us. Now, back to the show.
Kia was in crisis. The loss of her grandmother, coupled with the deadline for finding employment, caused her to shut down. For Stephanie, the challenge was balancing Kia's grieving process with the need to get her ready for financial independence.
So when our clients do experience tragedy of any sort, the primary goal of us as mentors is to first and foremost be mindful of their mental health and well-being, because we know that that's something that many of our clients already struggle with. I think it was about a week and a half after she had gotten the news and she was kind of walking at her own pace, going through the grieving transition. I knew that she was ready to start communicating again because she came to me. And at that point, we were able to start talking through their goals and remind them what their purpose of being here is.
I didn't feel rushed. I did feel pushed because, you know, they saw my potential and they also saw that I was like wasting away being sad in my room all the time. So they did push me to get a job. So they basically, I sat down with them and I was like, hey, I don't know why I'm not getting these jobs. Maybe there's something wrong with my resume. And there were a lot of things wrong with my resume. One, it was like really discombobulated. And two, it didn't like look professional. So they helped me with that. They helped me with my cover letter, like how to dress for an interview, like what to say and how to act and everything.
The Life Mentor soon informed Kia of a local food service learning program named Fort Works, which is a collaboration between the Tarrant Area Food Bank, Taste Project, and the Culinary School of Fort Worth. It was a chance for Kia to pursue her passion of the culinary arts while receiving training and paid work experience.
So not only are you getting a free education that's sponsored by the Culinary School of Fort Worth, we also get paid to go there. So it's $10 an hour. And then when you complete the apprenticeship, you get an ACF Fundamentalist Cook license, you get a food handler's license, and you also are gifted a starter knife kit. So I applied and I signed up for the interview process.
How did it go?
For me, I was nervous at first because although I am a good talker, I don't like talking and I don't talk a lot. So they asked me a bunch of questions about like why I should be good for the program, like why am I here? And I didn't want to give them a whole backstory about my grandmother yet. So I told them about the scene in Ratatouille on how Gusto, the ghost chef, was like, anybody could be a chef. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do that.
It worked. Kia got accepted into the 16-week accelerated learning program. Soon she was waking up early 5 days a week to catch the 15-minute bus ride to the Tarrant Area Food Bank to attend classes.
Okay, so a typical day of the first 8 weeks, you would go in at the food bank and you would sit down in the little classroom that they have there, and we would learn a lesson plan for like an hour on, say, like different nutrients and vitamins that are in the food. And then at the Taste Community restaurant, we will get there and we'll cook and we'll work on the line the entire day. So you'll get there at 7. So you basically have like 2 hours or 3 hours to like prep your line for all the fruits and like the salads and stuff you'll need. So basically, that's what it was.
My name is Chef Jason Abelson, and I serve as the program coordinator for the pre-apprenticeship portion of the Fort Works Food Service Learning Program. I'm saying this with a smile on my face, but Kia, from her entire time throughout the program, it was always about excelling and growing. She wanted to know what was next. How can I learn this? How can I do more? How can I go faster? And so her biggest strength is her initiative. If she sees that something needs to be done or that something can even be done better than they're doing it, then she's going to offer up that opinion and herself to do the work. She's not afraid to step up and get something done and do it in a manner in which not only that she could be proud of it, but that the program could be proud of. So it was apparent early on that she has a passion for culinary arts that's just, it just comes every once in a while. You find it in a student and you want to ignite that passion. You want to send them on their way.
Even though Kia was excelling in the program, the apprenticeship still had its challenges.
I did have a lot of difficult moments. How, like 90% of the time, I wanted to quit because the other apprentices I was working with, they kind of picked up on the fact that, like, if they slack off on something, I was going to pick up the slack. And also, my peers were like, they were quitting and dropping out of the program, which is more work on me. So, like, as we got further into the program, that frustrated me a lot because they didn't take it as serious as I was. So I was like, well, am I even here? I might as well quit.
It is actually very common for our clients to not stick with a job or an apprenticeship, and that is predominantly because they lack coping skills and many of them just lack perseverance. So if the clients are falling behind on their goals as life mentors, we're watching them as they're making their decisions. So if we start seeing them kind of slowing down or maybe just backing away from a goal, we will tend to meet with them one-on-one, individually, and just ask them and find out, you know, what is going on? What is it that you're struggling with? Is there something that we can do to help you accomplish this goal?
For Kia, she just needs to be reminded that there are so many people behind her, pushing her forward, pushing her towards her goals, and that we believed in her. I don't think she realized until, you know, midway through the program that her skill set extended beyond just cakes and baking, that she was great at savory and she was great at appetizers and she was great at working on the line and in prepping. And I think that was the biggest growth point for her, was that I can do more. I just didn't know it.
My biggest motivation is like what Chef Jason said. I'm now starting to realize I do have a passion for this. He basically convinced me by saying, like, I have a natural born talent to be in the culinary industry. And he could see me basically going, like, really far and having my own, like, restaurant or being my own executive chef one day. And sometimes, like, then there he'll slip of, like, how proud of he was of me. So it was basically, like, a little tearjerker moment for me because, like, this guy who's my superior thinks I'm this great. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll stay.
With the support of the life mentors and our culinary instructors, Kia found the strength and determination to persevere. In the end, I had the opportunity to join a group of ACH staff and mentors to attend Kia's graduation dinner from the Fort Works Culinary Program.
I'm at Taste Community Restaurant, and today is my apprentice graduation.
It's very important for us to show up for this graduation to show that Kia has support. We know for a lot of clients within our organization, they lack the support piece. So just by us being present here today makes Kia feel really special.
My name is Joan Denton. I'm the chef instructor for the Tarrant Area Food Bank.
Hi, and I'm Robin Frisella. I'm the production chef at the Tarrant Area Food Bank.
You know, one thing that I loved about Kia is that she is very humble and she has a very teachable spirit.
Mm-hmm. Talented.
Yeah.
Intuitive,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Yeah. She started out a little quiet, mm-hmm, and really kind of blossomed, you know, and right now she's like smiling all the time. Mm-hmm. So her confidence definitely has shot way up.
Token of appreciation for the chefs that went through the program. This is a knife kit that it was donated by Mission Kitchen to us. It has some tools in it that will help you on your journey. We hope that you add to it this will become part of your extension, and some flowers too. And then we're going to cut the cake.
This is an 8-inch boneless chef knife.
Ooh.
And it's also a good look for me because I have tiny hands and it makes it really hard to grip knives correctly. Then they gave us a 3-inch paring knife, which is also good for cutting fruits or vegetables.
I know how to sharpen a knife, that's no problem.
Painting the course has definitely raised my self-confidence, like through the roof. At first, I didn't know how to accept compliments or like take appraisal. I always would downplay myself, so I definitely accept it now, know my worth.
Kia, what do you think your grandmother would have thought about your graduation?
She definitely would have been proud of me. Well, she would have been mad at first because I did tell her I dropped out of college and she was disappointed. And like, although I knew my grandmother would be proud of me for doing something that I wanted, you know, I had a little voice in the back of my head that was like, I'm doing all this and I feel like nobody's paying attention. But I told her, I did visit her grave like a couple of weeks ago. And I told her, I was like, hey, I'm basically graduating and I'm doing always what I wanted to do. It kind of made me feel a little bit happy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Why do you say that?
I've never been like too religious, but I do believe in like, you know, spirituals, like people who are always there listening to you. So I felt like I told her, I was like, hey, I finally did it. I'm doing something that you love and I love and I can make money doing it. So why not?
Thank you, Kia. Your story is a model of perseverance that we all can look up to. If you feel inspired and would like to support ACH in its mission to protect children and preserve families, then you can donate now at achservices.org, or you can find the link in the show notes. Also, if you like this episode, please share it with a friend, follow us, or write a review. It makes a huge difference. Counting on Us is a podcast presented by ACH Child and Family Services. Written, edited, and produced by Daniel Trevino. Special thanks to Life Mentor Stephanie Henry and Chefs Jason Abelson, Joan Denton, and Robin Priscilla from the Fort Works Learning Program. Mixing by Panoramic Sound. Thanks for listening.